What's up and welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for February 24th, 2021. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by the busiest lady in the business, Andrea Renee.
What's good, Tim? Good to see you.
How are you doing? It has been a very long time since I've talked to you on or off content. What's up? What's new?
Well, you know, we're just running What's Good Games, and I'm working on some side projects, and in general, just trying to take one day at a time, eagerly awaiting the end of this endless nightmare that we all find ourselves in. I was talking with Kevin before we went live, and he was like, oh, you know, like, what's going on? I'm like, I wish I had something exciting to say. I wish I had something different to say.
Here's
other than I'm in my house again.
I want you to come up with one thing that you haven't told anybody yet that you're going to announce here on the show. It doesn't mean to be an announcement, but just something.
Okay.
A unique thought from Andrea Renee that is about to be revealed for the very first time here on Kinda Funny Games Daily.
Okay. I got it. I think I have something I can talk about. Do you want to talk about it now or later?
Let's talk about it right now.
Okay. So I've been doing this Clubhouse thing. Have you been into Clubhouse, Tim?
I have it. I'm not vibing with it, but that's definitely I don't have the time for that.
Honestly, that's kind of where I'm leaning. So I've been doing it for a couple of weeks now. I've been invited to be in a couple of different clubhouses. And after I'm done, I always feel like, what did I get out of that? Right? Because most of the people that I'm in clubhouses with, I already know. And it's not private enough that I can have like a candid conversation with those people and really have like a nice catch up like we would if we were like meeting in a lobby bar at a convention or something like that. And it's not like enough of a venue where it's not organized enough where it feels like you're going to a PAX panel for like a very specific thing. Right. And so I feel like I'm kind of caught in this middle place. And then it's really awkward if you have to leave or if you're like, I'm tired, or if you like something comes up at the house, because there's no lurking in Clubhouse. So for people who aren't familiar with what I'm talking about, there's a new app out. It's called Clubhouse, obviously. And it's essentially like a glorified chat app, but it's voice only. But you have a profile kind of like you do on Twitter with a little bio and a profile picture. You can connect your other social profiles to it. And it's invite only. And then once you're in, you can either join other clubs that already exist, or you can start a new club by holding a recurring meeting. And then you can apply to start a club on your own. And the way that it works is you make people moderators, and then they can speak, and then you can have people be speakers, but everybody has to be like really diligent about managing their mute button, even more so than like a typical Zoom call. And then people in the public who are already part of Clubhouse can scroll through and see who's live and then just join your Clubhouse. You can start private rooms if you want as well, but at that point, why are you even using Clubhouse? Why don't you just call somebody on the phone.
Well, that's always the weirdest thing with all this. That my experience with Clubhouse, to keep it brief, because I already told the story, but I just got caught listening to Soulja Boy talk by a best friend who tweeted. It was just like, I saw Tim just pop into Soulja Boy's room and then leave. And I'm like, well, I don't like this. I don't like people judging what I'm looking at or consuming. So I'm off of all of this. But this reminds me of back when like text messages were first a thing. And everyone's like, why would I do that when I can just call somebody? And it's like, that sounds so silly now, because it's like, well, I mean, texting is just the way people communicate. But then I remember there was the text to voice thing where you would text things and then it would just like do the robot voice at people. And it's like, why? What is the point of this? But you know what? Forget about all of that. This is Kinda Funny Games Daily, where each and every weekday right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames, we come at you live with all of the video game news that you need to know. You can watch the show on youtube.com/kindafunnygames or on roosterteeth.com. If you want to listen to it as a podcast, guess what? Just search your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny Games Daily, and we will be right there for you. We got a whole bunch of fun housekeeping here for you. Kinda Funny contracts are now live in Hitman 3. You can go play and see if you can kill the people in game that Greg wants you to. I know that Blessing and Roger were working really hard on those, so go check them out. It's really cool seeing our logo in Hitman 3. Blessing is playing Among Us for IGN's Black History Month stream today at 2 p.m. Pacific time. Our third FCF draft is tonight at 5:30 p.m. Join Greg, Snowbike Mike, and more guests as they have a beer and draft the team that will face off against Johnny Football and the Zappers this Saturday. Johnny Football. Gotta love sports. thank you to all of our Patreon producers, Graham of Legend, David Mintel, Trent Berry, Blackjack, Louise Aguiar at 8-Bit Louise, James Davis at James Davis Makes, and the Nanobiologist. Today we're brought to you by Brooklyn and Burrow and Logitech, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. We have six stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Nice work, Kevin.
I love it. You gotta love it. Story number one, PlayStation State of Play tomorrow. This comes from Sid Schumann at the PlayStation blog. It is time for another State of Play. This Thursday, a State of Play broadcast will serve up new updates and deep dives for 10 games coming to PS4 and PS5, including new game announcements and updates on some of the third-party and indie titles you last saw in June's PS5 showcase. The show is clocking in at 30 minutes or so, give or take. Can't wait to hear what you think. And a quick note, there won't be PlayStation hardware or business-focused updates in the show. We're focusing on great games set to come out in the months ahead. It will be Thursday, February 25th at 2 p.m. Pacific time. Andrea?
Tim.
What are your hype levels?
I was more hype before they were like, it's just 30 minutes. I was like, oh, dang. I was really hoping for a longer State of Play, something 45, maybe even 60 minutes long, so we can get like a good look at what's coming for the PS5 slate. As Greg and Gary talked about yesterday, I mean, they obviously covered a lot of the PlayStation speculation, was that missing from all the announcements, of course, was an update on God of War Ragnarok. So hopefully we're going to get that. If they just made it about God of War, I would be a happy camper. I do think it's really sad that the PlayStation VR 2, or whatever we're calling it now, got this like sad blog post, and then Sony had to come out very specifically to be like, we're not talking about hardware in our State of Play. And so it's like, well, I guess we're not getting any further details on what's going on with that. But I think that this is great. I think that, you know, getting an update is important. I love my PS5 a lot. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Let's do it. We're going to be live streaming a watch along over at What's Good. So it'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I think this is actually exactly what I wanted to hear. There's, you know, besides Ratchet's release date, which is later than we all kind of expected, I'm excited to hear more about what PS5 games I have to look forward to this year, hopefully with some dates, hopefully with a little bit more detail. There was a lot of games announced last year, but, you know, to get more actual substantial release dates, maybe we'll get some, maybe not even a date, but just more of like a time frame, an understanding of, okay, this is actually coming out in 2021, as opposed to they're just saying it is, but do we really believe it? And there's so many things that they've shown that we might get to see. Final Fantasy 16, God of War 2, Rock, Horizon, Forbidden West. Like, things can show up. I'm not expecting all of them to, but I do think them talking about, like, the 30 minutes, I think that, while, of course, I'd rather longer, the Nintendo Direct a couple days ago being 50 minutes, like, proves that longer's not always better. It can be. You know, but there have been State of Plays that are less than 30 minutes. So I'm happy we're at least getting this. And I do think that that's enough time to jam pack it with a ton of stuff. They're talking about deep dives for 10 games coming to PS4 and PS5. I imagine we're going to be getting a lot of update talk, maybe Final Fantasy VII Remake, finally getting an update for PS5, because that would make a lot of sense. Or Last of Us 2, even. Where's that PS5 update? You know, and those are the type of things that I kind of equate on the Nintendo side to like the Switch ports, where it's like the Switch Wii U ports, where it's like, hey, we all kind of expect them, but it's good to just check them off the list, because we do want all of them to just have their enhanced modes on PS5 so that we can just totally move on to pure next gen and all that. I'm not expecting any like crazy new announcement, but they do say including new game announcements. So who knows? Maybe we get the Silent Hill. Maybe we get something crazy. And the thing is, in terms of expectations for all of this, like, Sony really set the bar high last year, and in the last couple of years, but last year specifically, with its PS5 events, where both events that they did, I think they completely knocked out of the park in terms of quantity of quality announcements. That not all of them hit perfectly. Some of them were weird, where it wasn't clear if it was PS5 and PS4 games or when release dates were. They didn't say Demon's Souls was a launch game. That was bizarre. A lot of bizarre choices. But they announced Demon's Souls. They announced Final Fantasy 16. They announced all, like, this ridiculous list of games. Ratchet, Gran Turismo, Miles Morales, like, blah, blah, blah. It just keeps going on and on and on. So getting a proper state of play, which we haven't had in a while, because last year, if I remember correctly, we only got single game deep dive state of plays, like for Ghost of Tsushima and Last of Us. And then we just got the PS5 events that in a lot of ways functioned like a state of play, but they weren't branded state of play. So it's interesting to see them go back to that. And I'm excited. You know, I think that I have faith that we know the things that they're working on. And there's, it's not like Nintendo where it's like, where's the focus Breath of the Wild? If Ragnarok's not there, we know that other things are going to be there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I think that it's going to be a nice mix. I think the idea of them saying we're going to do 10 deep dives in 30 minutes is a little disingenuous. Because that's, even if you gave every game equal amount of time, that's 3 minutes per game, which I wouldn't qualify as a deep dive. But I think that it's good for them to update everybody. I agree with you that it would really be nice to see a game like The Last of Us 2 come to PlayStation 5 with like a proper port, not, you know, just like backwards compatibility, which I'm sure a lot of people have played. I don't know, you know, what else we know we're going to expect. I'm guessing we're going to get some smaller titles as well. Obviously, PlayStation has done a really great job of promoting their indie community over the last several years, and I know that they've been reinvesting in that space, particularly in the last like 18 to 24 months. So I would guess that we're going to see some smaller titles in addition to AAAs, but I think it's going to be great. Yeah,
I'm ready. I mean, with that, definitely like Kena, Bridge of Spirits will be there, and like, you know, it's a smaller, big title, huge title, but Ratchet and Clank, I definitely expect we're going to see something.
A release date for sure, because it's coming spring.
We got the release date already.
Oh, they did. I must have missed it.
They dropped that on Twitter like last week, I want to say. It's June, if I remember correctly.
Okay, got it.
Someone in the chat, let me know about that. But anyway, I'm stoked about this. I love PlayStation State of Plays. I think that they really haven't hit their groove yet. There hasn't been a format that I'm like, fuck yeah, you guys nailed it. But I do think that most of the time, every one has been better than the last in terms of format, at least. And I think that this is a very good refresh point. Like, this is a Sony that has been through the year 2020 and understands where they're at and what their capabilities are. And, you know, like I said, their events last year that weren't state of plays were fantastic. So I'm hoping this can live up to that. Yeah, June 11th, they're saying, is for Ratchet and Clank. There's a note here that says, Andrea, while we're talking PlayStation, is the PS5 about to be way bigger than the PS4? In all the PlayStation hubbub yesterday, we didn't talk about Jim Ryan's mention of the PS5 audience. We go back to the GQ article from yesterday, and GQ says, since we've got you here, when is everyone who wants to buy a PS5 going to be able to easily buy one? And Jim Ryan says, all I can say is we're working as hard as we possibly can. You may have read that we sold 4.5 million PS5s at the end of December. That's more than we did PS4s in 2013. And that was the high watermark for the PlayStation generation. So with everything in the world throughout last year, we feel like that was fairly decent. One in four of those who have bought a PS5 do not have a PS4. And those around are about half are new to the PlayStation Network, so it's really nice that we're able to bring in people from outside. I know there were people who wanted a PS5 and couldn't find one. We're very sorry about that, and obviously grateful that demand has been as strong as it is. Andrea, I say again, is the PS5 going to smash the PS4's install base once people can get their hands on it?
No.
You really don't think so?
No, I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. Because I think that we're at the beginning of a new era of gaming, and that if you look at the last 7 years of video game infrastructure and hardware, it's a very different landscape than what the next 7 years will be. And I think that is in large part due to mobile gaming being on the rise and different mobile platforms being on the rise. And of course, the introduction of cloud gaming. Now, I know that there are a ton of problems with cloud gaming right now, but I think 2-3 years from now, that's going to be a different story. I think infrastructure is going to start catching up worldwide. I think people are going to be investing more in telecom services. And so I think that there's just going to be too much splitting of the market for PlayStation to dominate in this next cycle the way that they dominated in the last cycle. And also, Xbox was really their own worst enemy in the last generation, and I think they've learned a lot from their mistakes. So I think that they're going to creep and take a bigger share of the overall hardware market than they were able to in the last generation. So I think the PlayStation 4 was an amazing console, but I do not think the PlayStation 5 is going to outdo it in raw sales.
That's very interesting points, and I do disagree with you, but I think that what you're saying is very salient there. I think the PS5 is going to sell more than the PS4, specifically because I think that the PS4 generation made Sony as mainstream as possible when it comes to video games, and video games are just bigger than they've ever been. And, you know, you look at the hardware sales across the board last year for Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony, all of them were through the roof up. And that's just because, you know, with the situation everyone had, so many new gamers were born. It was like the mutant X gene was released into the world. And, you know, so many people that, you know, how hard is it to Terrigen Mist, thank you, Kev, transitioning into, you know, from Animal Crossing to other games as well, or whatever that journey for them might be. But I think that, you know, I just using the subsampling of my friend group who, at different points in their life, have been hardcore gamers, or some of them not, some of them whatever, just different levels of gaming. All of them are into PS5. All of them are, and most of them did not have PS4s, and they're going back playing Last of Us 1 for the first time, playing God of War, playing, you know, this library of games. And I think that library is just going to keep building on itself. And there is the big question marks of the third-party titles, and will PlayStation have that stranglehold on all of the marketing side of things like they did last gen. And I don't think that's going to change. I think that Xbox is going to continue to, you know, gobble up different teams to make first party titles and bolster Game Pass. But I think that the game that PlayStation's playing is focused on quality exclusive titles. And I think that that is a game that is going to pay off for them in the long run. And that is what mainstream gaming is going to look like to the majority of people.
Well, Tim, I guess we're just going to have to wait and see.
It's exciting times.
Do you want to place like a 7-year bet, Tim?
Bet.
No.
Oh, let's do it. No. Let's do it. We're
make
doing it.
Bet. Yeah? You want
let's,
to?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Let's bet. Bet something fun.
Oh, man. You guys throw me a pizza party.
Okay. Yeah. Winner has to throw
Kevin. I love that
Kevin
never changes. He's just like, all I ever want is pizza.
But the winner has to throw Kevin, or the loser has to throw Kevin a pizza party.
Okay. Can we all attend, though?
I mean, that's up to you.
Kevin.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, you guys are all. I mean, anytime I throw a party, Andrea, you're invited. I want you to know.
That's just the rules.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm down for this. I think we got to make, since this is a very long bet, we got to make the stakes a little bit higher, Tim. Mm-hmm. So I think we got to throw Kevin and 20 people of his choosing a pizza party.
Deal.
As long as it includes us and our significant others.
Yeah. Let's see. Druvenator writes in and says, one item that was glossed over on yesterday's show, but to me is very interesting and compelling from PlayStation, is Jim Ryan's comments on the importance of providing certain games and making them available day and date via PS Plus, like Bugsnax and Destruction All-Stars. He expects this to continue moving forward, and I fully expect games like Jet the Far Shore, Kena, etc. to be good candidates for PS Plus games. Have we considered that this strategy is Sony's response to Game Pass versus making their own Game Pass alternative, PS Now Plus, day and date first party launches? Sony's surely excited about having an 80% plus PS Plus attachment rate. Got so many pluses here. Attachment rate for PS5 consumers. Maybe their focus remains on keeping that PS Plus number high versus focusing on PS Now.
I mean, this is tough because I think we don't have any insights as to what Sony's plan for PS Now is, right? Like it's one of their services that they haven't really talked about a lot over the past couple of years. I mean, they've never really talked about it, right? Like they just don't focus on it at all. And I think that that's indicative of where it sits in their priority chain of what they're putting their investment and their energy into. And that's, you know, troubling. I would really like to see them roll PS Now into PS Plus and give us a equal service that we get with Xbox Game Pass. I think that if we could have like an Xbox Game Pass Ultimate equivalent on PlayStation, that could be really powerful for them. But they already have brought the PlayStation Plus collection to PS5 owners for free, right? So you don't even have to pay for that stuff if you're a PlayStation Plus subscriber already. You don't have to pay extra, right? And I just don't know, like, I don't know what Sony's goal is with PS Now, if they're going to be committed to streaming, if they're looking to get into like a Project X Cloud level of streaming, or if they're going to maybe say, hey, like streaming infrastructure is not for us. Who knows? Maybe they're going to buy Stadia's tech off of them.
Yeah, like, totally. I mean, my theory on it is that they want to keep PS Now and PS Plus separate for now because they know that they can't compete with Game Pass on a one-to-one level. And the closer they get to that, the more comparisons are going to be made. So until they're ready to compete on that level with the cloud infrastructure and all that, I don't think that we're going to be hearing that much about PS Now. I will say I'm pretty surprised that they haven't figured that out and haven't been talking about it. But I do think that it speaks to the game that they're playing and the way that they see their titles and their gaming ecosystem and how people buy games on their platform. And I think that I've said this a bunch of times, but I don't think the PS Plus collection gets enough credit for how amazing it is of all these fantastic titles that are available essentially for free if you have PS Plus on PS5. And that is for so many people that missed out on PS4 games. That's crazy to a lot of people in our chat because they all played the games because they own PS4s. But guess what? A ton of people out there didn't. So they're playing these games for the first time and it's the best deal ever. So it's like, that to me is like, we can't just look at it as a Game Pass versus what's PlayStation doing. It's more like, what is Game Pass doing for its ecosystem and what is PS Plus and their different initiatives doing for theirs? And the PlayStation Play at Home stuff that they've done before but are talking about now, Ratchet and Clank 2016 is just timed but free for people to play leading into the release of the new game. Like, that is a great, awesome thing for an amazing video game that people will now be able to play for free. And I think that what Druvenator here is talking about Bugsnax and Destruction All-Stars type games coming to PS Plus, it's a long time in the making. And I think that it can't work for every single game. And I don't think we're ever going to see Last of Us 3 day and date coming to a streaming service. That's just not PlayStation's MO. And I don't think it needs to be. I don't think everyone doing the same thing is good. I like that Nintendo, Microsoft, and PlayStation are finally seemingly completely in their own lane doing different things that hopefully is going to lead to unique experiences in each lane. So that's exciting.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think overall, like, what people sometimes forget is that Microsoft and Sony, like with the capital M, capital S, are very different companies, right? The way that Microsoft runs their overall business, not just their Xbox business, is very different than the way that Sony runs their overall business versus their PlayStation business. And I think that those decisions really weigh heavily as to like what kinds of services and subscriptions they provide. Like, Microsoft can afford to absorb any like hit costs they have to take when they put games into Game Pass. Sony is not exactly in the same position. So, and they don't need to be, right? Like, they have proven that they have no problem selling their first party titles. So why would they give them away in a subscription when they can easily, you know, charge $60, $70 for them and people will still buy them because they have proven that the games are good and they're worth the money. So I'm with you there.
Yeah. Moving on to our next story. Cyberpunk 2077 patch delayed because of hack. This comes from Cyberpunk's Twitter. While we dearly wanted to deliver patch 1.2 for Cyberpunk 2077 in the time span we detailed previously, the recent cyber attack on the studio's IT infrastructure and extensive scope of the update mean this unfortunately will not happen. We'll need some additional time. Our goal for patch 1.2 goes beyond any of our previous updates. We've been working on numerous overall quality improvements and fixes, and we still have work to do to make sure that's what you get. With that in mind, we're now aiming for a release in the second half of March. It's not the news we enjoy sharing, but we want to make sure we launch this update properly. Stay tuned for more information as the time draws closer. Thank you for your continued patience and support. A little context from IGN. The aforementioned cyber attack against CD Projekt Red compromised the studio's internal systems. The hackers stole documents and source code for Cyberpunk, The Witcher 3, and more. These stolen files were reportedly sold in a dark web auction that was allegedly set at $7 million.
This is just such a sad story because obviously people are frustrated with the Cyberpunk experience and the way that game rolled out, having to wait for patches. But CDPR being hit by a hacking attack is absolutely devastating and completely uncalled for. It's obviously illegal, and like having to take their team away from the work they were doing to deal with this security issue, like, sucks. Like, this whole story just sucks.
Straight
and
up.
you know, like my heart goes out to all the developers who are putting their blood, sweat, and tears into the game. People who, you know, aren't in management, who this isn't their fault. You know, they're just working on art or sound or engineering or whatever, right? They're just trying to make the best game that they know how to make. And they just keep getting these giant obstacles thrown at them. And it just, I feel so bad for them. And I hope that they can bounce back from this. Obviously, the game still did well, right? It sold over 13 million copies. So I hope that management looks at that profitability and takes some of those resources and says, hey, our team needs help. We need to staff up. We need to hire more people. We need to hire experts to make our system secure and say, hey, we just need to spend money now to get ourselves whole again.
Yeah. I mean, you're so right. Like, this is such a shitty situation. And it's, you know, don't steal shit, period. Like, that's kind of where this all starts, right? Like, from the leak side. And yeah, like, it does suck that there's just so many devs that are working hard that just want this nightmare to be over. And this just delays it even more. But, you know, it all goes back to management. Like you were saying, it's like this whole problem is only an issue because the game was poorly managed to begin with. So we're only in the situation where patches are being delayed, and I don't necessarily think it's going to be the last time. At the end of the day, I think it's good that they're being transparent and at least keeping people updated and letting them know. But at the same time, it's kind of like, I don't see a good end for this ever. Like, I don't see this game being like patched and people being like, oh, you know what? It's good now. But still.
Yeah, no, I see Raul Giovanni in the chat says, I think the problem is that they make one game in 7 years. 13 mil is just not enough with that budget. And I want to remind you that CD Projekt Red also owns GOG.com, and they have plenty of resources and plenty of money. So don't let the idea that they only put out a tentpole game, which, by the way, they've been releasing Gwent expansions. They are still making money from The Witcher. They are fine, okay? They have the money. They just, as Tim said, mismanage this process. And hopefully, you know, they can get their act together.
Yeah. Totally. So let's see. We got a question from Bilbo Bagginses saying, welcome back, Andrea. Miss you always. I'd be lying if I said I hadn't expected to hear this immediately after the news of their hack. I'm waiting to play this on PS5 until this February patch came out, at the least because I like the best first impression possible. The delay's a bummer. Still, I feel for the developers who must be working so hard to get this game up to snuff. But CD Projekt Red's management seems to constantly be putting a sour taste in my mouth, and I'm losing trust. Do you see CD Projekt Red delaying further big fixes for Cyberpunk due to unforeseen events beyond their control? Those were both in air quotes. Based on your experience in the industry, do you feel Cyberpunk is beyond truly fixing and polishing anytime soon? And would CD Projekt Red be transparent about that at this point? Thanks for all you do. Andrea.
Okay. Hi. Sorry. I just realized that my earbuds just decided to like shit out on me in the middle of that. But good news. Sorry. I have my other headset right here. And you were just reading the question.
Ready.
Just reading the question.
The question for you here. Yeah. Do you see CD Projekt Red delaying further big fixes for Cyberpunk due to unforeseen events beyond their control?
Yes, 100%. I think that what they need to do is stop putting dates on their patches. And I think that they should just say, hey, we're working on it. The patches will come when they're ready. Thank you for your patience. They've already offered refunds. So if you're not willing to wait for the patches, get your refund, right? Like, so I think that that's where we're at. And like the people just who are patient just need to keep being patient and keep supporting them as a studio. And if you're like, table flip, fuck them, get your refund and stop bitching about it, right? Like, that's where we're at. And they clearly need more time. And I fully expect there to be more delays, because I think that once they've finally now started digging into everything they need to do, they're like, this just needs more time. I mean, it could be that Cyberpunk 2077 for console just needed another full year of development, you know, and it never got it. And I say, you know, don't at this point, don't rush patches. Don't rush, you know, the next gen version of the game. At this point, you've already made the bed. You're lying in it. You're in there in the shit. Just stay in the shit and don't try to claw your way out until you're absolutely ready.
Oh, God. It just sucks. Who the hell would have thought Cyberpunk 2077 would turn into... Who thought in February 2021 we'd be talking this way still about Cyberpunk? Whatever. Story number three, Valheim hits 4 million copies in 3 weeks. This comes from Eddie at GameSpot. The Norse-inspired PC multiplayer game Valheim has crossed another major sales milestone just days after achieving 2 million in sales in under 2 weeks. The PC game climbed to 3 million copies sold, and now sales are up to 4 million sold in under 3 weeks. Here's some other fun stats that developer Iron Gate and publisher Coffee Stain announced. Valheim has reached more than 500,000 peak concurrent players on Steam. They have more than 80,000 positive user reviews. It's currently the 57th best reviewed game on Steam of all time. And Valheim has led to 28 million hours of watching on Twitch and 10,000 years of gameplay.
That's bonkers.
Yeah, there's a quote here. I don't think I have really had time to contemplate it. I know that players like the game a lot, but at the same time, I think I can make something even better in the future. I'm looking forward to adding more content to the game, especially working on the remaining biomes, Iron Gate CEO Richard Svensson said. Our current roadmap only reaches the next biome, and we hope to have it done by the end of next year, but it might very well take longer depending on how smooth the development will be. I really don't want to stress the development. That never ends well. What a great quote. What a great, that's awesome. I love he's like, hey, this is going well, but you know what? I got a lot more cool things coming. Like, let's keep this positivity going, but I'm not trying to overwork the team. Good shit.
You hear that so rarely from team leaders about how they want to be able to take care of their teams. It was interesting because I know that that's just not the way that creatives usually work. I mean, we've don't need to get into a whole conversation about crunch culture. You and I have talked about it. It's just part of being in the entertainment industry. It's just kind of like baked in. And to hear that there's actually people making meaningful change and saying, hey, we're just not going to run at that if you're not fine. But it's such a luxury also to be Andrew, I love that.
Your mic's cutting in and out, just a heads up.
My mic is cutting in and out?
Yeah, that last sentence was real hard to understand anything.
Talk again?
I definitely don't know why that's happening.
Now you sound good. It was just for a second. I think it was just maybe the internet or something.
We have been having a lot of problems with Discord. I don't know if it's Discord related. Or what? Maybe John's streaming too many things in the living room. Stop streaming
too many things.
Turn the show off.
You sound good now. It's not breaking up. So
okay. Essentially, what I was just saying is like, you love to see it, right? You love to see a small team mm-hmm. do well. You love to see a game go viral, and for them to say, "Hey, you know, we're not gonna bend over backwards to try to keep up because we just can't. So we're gonna take care of ourselves. And when new content comes out, right?" And I'm happy for them. Congrats. I think this is like every indie dev's dream, right?
Totally. Yeah, no, this is the best. And I just want to put this on record for whoever keeps count of everything. I'm going to put this down as one of my 10 predictions coming right. One half of my predictions right, because I said there'd be two games that are indie mega successes on Twitch and all that stuff this year. This is the first one. Let's go. Fourth story. Notre Dame won't be in EA College Football. This comes from Brendan Sinclair at GamesIndustry.biz. EA is returning to college football, but one of the sport's biggest names will remain sidelined for the moment. Notre Dame athletic director Jack Swarbrick this week released a statement saying the school would not be appearing in the publisher's upcoming game until a few changes are made to American collegiate athletics as a whole. Quote, Notre Dame athletics welcomes the return of EA Sports College Football, a video game series that has historically helped promote interest in college football. Notre Dame will not, however, participate in the game until such time as rules have been finalized governing the participation of our student athletes. As those rules are developed, it is our strong desire that student athletes be allowed to benefit directly from allowing their name, image, and performance history to be used in the game. Historically, college athletes have not been allowed to benefit from their name, image, or likeness rights. However, in 2019, California passed a law that would allow players to hire agents and get endorsement deals, and the NCAA reversed its longstanding opposition to the concept the next week. In 2019, the NCAA set itself a January 2021 deadline to update those rules, but last month, it indefinitely delayed a vote on rule changes, citing unspecified external factors. EA hasn't published a college football game since 2013. Earlier this month, it announced it would begin to do so again.
I'm kind of split on this because part of me is like, oh, this is actually not that bad. I think it's actually better that they're like, hey, we're going to sit it out. If our players can't get paid, we're not going to get paid. And then on the other hand, I'm like, well, how like genuine are their actual intentions? Probably not that genuine. I think that it's great that EA is looking at bringing college football back. I think trying to do negotiations for college players is going to be a giant like Pandora's box that EA clearly doesn't want to open again, which is why that they're going forward without them for now. Quite frankly, I don't really care about football video games. Gonna burst some people's bubble out there, but I'm happy for all of you that do. It's just tough when you're talking about likeness rights. I mean, they're expensive. They're tough.
Yeah.
And if John Drake was still watching the show, he would probably be in chat talking about how he has to negotiate likeness rights all the time.
Yeah, it's interesting because like there is the two sides to this where are Notre Dame just trying to get more money for themselves? And like obviously at the end of the day, they get that no matter what. So it's like that is a factor here. But how much of it is them actually caring about their players and wanting them to you know, be treated correctly? Because like undeniably, they should be able to have these rights. And it sounds like it's bullshit that there's external factors indefinitely delaying a vote that had a date to make these kind of changes like that. Those changes are going to completely affect the 4 years that these people get to play the game, or else it doesn't help them ever again. You know what I mean? It's like there's a ticking time bomb on that shit. So hopefully they figure this stuff out. It's definitely above me because I don't understand it all, this college stuff and not having the actual players. And it all just seems messy, but I'm happy people are getting their college football back to some extent. Number five, Alien is coming to Fortnite. Kev, can you pull up the video for this, please? Fortnite's Twitter's teasing that characters from Alien will be coming to the game. You can expect Ellen Ripley and a xenomorph like Sarah Connor and the Terminator. Are you playing Fortnite, Andrea?
No, I haven't played Fortnite in a very, very long time. Battle Royale in general is not generally my cup of tea. I do dabble in Warzone from time to time. In fact, I'm going to be playing Warzone with Snowbike Mike and Nick next week. Mm-hmm. But I just, like, that style of game is just, it's just frustrating for me. Mm-hmm. And the building element of Fortnite always was something that I never quite got the hang of in Battle Royale. Now, I've always mentioned that I love Save the World and I love that whole mode, but haven't been back to Fortnite in a while. But I think it's great that they're continuing to innovate and bringing new fun characters in. I mean, they've been crushing it with guest appearances. They have like a huge collection of licensed characters in the game now. I think that's cool. Now, the Xenomorph in particular is kind of a head scratcher since it's very much like a horror character, and that game is very much considered like a family-friendly game. But Kevin,
they got Master Chief, they got Kratos, they know what
Master Chief is. So generically safe, though.
He has an assault rifle.
He's not a scary character. Xenomorphs are freaking scary. They're weird looking.
Like, there's no way it can be the actual Xenomorph as the character, right? Like, it's gonna be because it looks like a dinosaur. Xenomorph looks like a dinosaur shape. Like, how is this gonna work?
Let's watch the video.
All right. It's just like a sound. It doesn't reveal anything.
Oh.
Reality log 426.
Barely.
I must have got my coordinates wrong or something, because as far as I can tell, this is just a very normal spaceship on a very normal shipping route. Running on tech that seems to be from 1986, so that's a little concerning. But crew's been real nice. Super chill. It's just, I don't know if their cooking is agreeing with me, though. Got some kind of heartburn. I'm gonna see if they got like a space sand acid or something.
It's gonna bust out of his chest, Tim.
Yeah, that's definitely Alien.
That's what's gonna happen to him.
Cool. You excited for this, Kev?
Yeah, but I'm also I'm very interested to see if we actually get a Xenomorph skin, which would be really cool. I know people are saying like, oh, they did Terminator skin. We have Predator skin. But like, again, those are all humanoid shape skins. Like a Xenomorph would be not humanoid, because like I've always wanted a dinosaur, like a Blue from, what's this movie?
Jurassic World.
That's it. So like that would be one step closer. I have a feeling I'm gonna be disappointed. Am I gonna buy it? Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably.
I've got another question for you, Kev. Are you gonna buy Star Wars Republic Commando? It's coming out because we got a release date for that. Aspyr today announced the return of a Star Wars classic, Star Wars Republic Commando, the fan favorite first-person tactical shooter where players lead a team of clone commandos as they battle through increasingly difficult missions that take place throughout the legendary Clone Wars. The game, brought back as a single-player experience with modernized controls, is coming to Switch and PS4 on April 6th for $15. This do anything for you, Andrea?
No, I wish it did. I the way that I feel about remasters is that, you know, they have to feel like they're doing something like genuinely either like different, or they're really putting time and care into like upgrading the graphics. And also it has to be something that speaks to me as a player. And there's just very few remasters that excite me. Really, like the only one is Mass Effect Legendary Edition. But other than that, I think it's great if people want to spend money to buy this game again. Like, you know, have at it. Go pew pew all of the things.
Love it. I miss this generation of Star Wars games so much, where it was just like every year there was three of them. And like every genre, every single genre imaginable, they're just like, let's throw the Star Wars license on it and see what happens. And they were always really good, never really great. And that's my favorite thing, you know, with very, very rare exceptions. But I love this. I loved this game back in the day. I don't necessarily think I need to replay it, but I do enjoy how many games are being ported, remaster or not, over, especially on the Switch. I love that the Switch is just kind of becoming over time this like insane, not even emulation machine, just like game machine of like gaming history is all here. So cool stuff, but I'm very excited to hopefully get to a world of Star Wars titles that surprise us and don't necessarily have to be these giant events that are just going to let us down over and over, but just kind of just become a genre of gaming again.
But have we reached saturation though with too many Star Wars titles? Like, does it feel like there's like a ton of Star Wars stuff happening for you guys, or is it the fandom never getting enough, like always wanting more?
Well, I think it's a mix of things. Blessing did a really good episode of the Blessing Show a couple weeks ago talking about Star Wars games specifically. And I just think that there is a magic to Star Wars video games that kind of fill in a gap and are, I think the level of standard is a little lower because it's fun to swing a lightsaber. It's fun to fly around in the different spaceships. It's fun to, you know, to play an RPG. Like, Star Wars just works in so many different forms in video games that I think it allows a lot more versatility in titles, where it's like, to say that you're over Star Wars, it's like, okay, well, are you over like the Skywalker stuff? Because that's a very specific thing compared to the bounty hunter stuff, compared to the Jedi stuff, compared to, you know what I mean? It's like, there's so many different aspects that they can take, so many different time periods and all that stuff. I think that there's a lot they can do. And I also think that we're just not getting a lot right now. Like, we're starting to see more things announced currently, but it's not like we're getting Star Wars video games every year, or at least not multiple a year, you know? It's not like the PS2 era. It's not even like the 360 era.
I guess that's fair. I see that we had the Star Wars announcement in the Nintendo Direct last week. We had this announcement this week. We know that Massive is making a Star Wars game. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of Star Wars happening. EA coming out being like, we're still here making Star Wars stuff too, everybody. Everybody's making Star Wars.
Yeah. There's layers to that though. Like, that Zynga game, until we see it, I'm like, all right.
It's probably going to sell like 50 million copies.
Yeah, congratulations. finding out how much it sells is so far away, Andrea. If I want to know what was coming to mom and grab shops today, where would I look?
Tim, you would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
That's all true.
What is this, Jess? What's happening? Is this new? Oh my god.
No, it's just for when I host the show, because I refuse to do the jingle.
Why?
I haven't hosted the show in like a year. I don't jingle. That's my only rule.
He doesn't jangle.
I don't jingle. When I give people my headshot, it's just a quote at the bottom that says, I don't jingle. You have to deal with it. If you want this face, you're no getting jingle. Them sweet jingle what? Jangles. What? But before we get to what games are coming out today, let me tell you about our sponsors. Shout out to Brooke Linen. Life is too short to sleep between anything less than really nice sheets. But maybe you looked at some retailers and calculated the years of interest you'd pay on just one set and gave up. Trust me. Go check out Brooke Linen. They work directly with manufacturers to make luxury available directly to you without the luxury level markups. I've been using Brooke Linen sheets for years. Recently just got some new ones for the other bed that I have. And man, they're just so soft. Different colors than I have in the other one. So many different options to choose from. You gotta love that. Brooke Linen has over 50,000 five-star reviews and counting. They're so confident you will love their products, they even offer a 365-day money-back guarantee. So many people are kind of funny love Brooke Linen. It's not just me. Greg Miller loves it too. He loves those towels, man, because they got towels. They got options. Go to brooklinen.com and enter code KFGD to get $25 off when you spend $100 or more, plus free shipping. That's brooklinen.com and enter code KFGD to get $25 off. Brooklinen.com, promo code KFGD. Next up, shout out to Burrow. Finding new furniture is always a hassle, whether it's finding what's right, getting it delivered, or the setup itself. That's why I'm excited to tell you that this episode's brought to you by Burrow, the furniture company that's designing smarter, simpler things for modern life at home. No more visits to far-flung warehouse stores, no high-pressure salespeople. Plus, Burrow's world-class support team is available for you whatever you need. My favorite thing about Burrow, I have one of their couches, is that they're expandable. Like right now I have a two-seater one, but if I wanted to make a three-seat, you could just buy that one piece, put it in the middle, boom. It makes it bigger. If it's just a straight line, you can make it an L if you want. You can get crazy. They allow you to do that with Burrow. It's furniture designed for the way that you live. And the award-winning Nomad sofa has a built-in USB charger. That's the type of tech that Tim Gettys love. I got to charge my USBs at all times. Assembly is simple. Burrow customers literally write reviews applauding the instructions for being so easy to follow. Modular design means they're easy to set up, but also easy to take with you to your next home. Burrow is also fast with free shipping on every order. Burrow saves you an average of $100 on large items like a couch. Right now, you can get $75 off your first order at burrow.com/games. That's Burrow, burrow.com/games for $75 off your Burrow purchase. burrow.com/games. And finally, shout out to Logitech. Gaming headsets are important. You want a headset with a good mic, good sound, and a headset that feels comfortable to wear, and that's what's best about the G733 wireless gaming headset from Logitech G. I have that sideways. The G733 Lightspeed wireless gaming headset comes with 2.4 gigahertz wireless connectivity, front-facing dual zone, light sync RGB, Blue Voice mic technology, Pro G audio drivers, and multiple colorways to choose from. Wow. That is so many cool options and things that I love. Gotta love RGB. Gotta love when I can make my headset match my life. Also has a total freedom with up to 20 meters wireless range with Lightspeed Wireless, so you can play for 29 plus hours of battery life wirelessly on PlayStation 4 with stereo sound. It's available in multiple colorways, each with its own vibrant reversible headband and corresponding ear pads. For a limited time, Logitech G is offering our listeners express shipping at logitechg.com. use code kind of funny daily, free ship 222 for express shipping today. That's express shipping for all Logitech G products with promo code kind of funny daily, free ship 222. I'm going to say that one more time. It is kind of funny daily, free ship 222. LogitechG.com for express shipping. Hurry now, since this promo will expire in 3 days. Kind of funny daily, free ship 222. All right, Andrea, back to the show here. Back to the show. Out today, all right, we have Werewolf, The Apocalypse, Heart of the Forest coming to PS4 and Xbox One. We have Horned Knight coming to Xbox One. When do you say horned and when do you say horned?
You never say horned.
So why do you say cursed child?
Because you're trying to be dramatic? I don't know.
The Horned Knight comes to Xbox One. Active Neurons 3, Wonders of the World comes to Xbox One. Iota comes to Switch. Retrace, Memories of Death comes to Switch. Night Vision on Switch. Gene Forge 1, Mutagen on PC and Mac. The Legend of Heroes, Senno Kakashi to Kai, the Erobianian Civil War comes to PC. Fight in Tight Spaces comes to PC. Old School RuneScape comes to Steam today. Farkle Safari.
I'm literally Googling this. What the heck is Farkle Safari?
Farkle Safari out now on iOS and Android. Minecraft Dungeons Flames of the Nether available now. Some new dates for you on March 18th. Explosion Aid DX will be available in the Americas and Europe on PS5 and PS4 and Nintendo Switch. Xbox One version will support a worldwide release. Narita Boy comes out the 30th of March on every console known to man. Deals the day. Lust for Darkness is free on Steam this weekend. So that's pretty cool. That's fantastic. But now it's time for reader mail. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to write in your reader mail. Am I stalling right now? 100% I'm stalling right now because I didn't prep the show. Greg Miller prepped the show, and there is no reader mail for me to read here. So instead, Andrea, I'm going to ask you a very important question. What do you think will be Game of the Year at the end of this year? It's a big question. Why would you know this? You don't even know what games are coming out this year.
I mean, if God of War Ragnarok does come out this year, I don't see how that game is not Game of the Year, knowing the masterpiece that was God of War. But that's a lot of pressure for Sony Santa Monica to live up to, right? Because that game was so phenomenal. And I think that they're a shoo-in to win Game of the Year if they do release this year. But if Horizon Forbidden West also comes out this year, that's going to be a tough one because that game was also an amazing, wonderful, fantastic piece of game making and game development. And now that Guerrilla has had more time to work with their engine, that Decima engine, I think that, you know, we have a potential for Forbidden West to be even, you know, more spectacular than Horizon Zero Dawn was. So, I mean, to me, those are two really strong contenders. I was really concerned when PlayStation intimated that they might be out in the same year. I'm kind of hoping that one of them gets pushed to Q1 2022, but who knows what's going to happen. So I think that those are probably my two top contenders.
Those are good calls. Very good calls.
Yeah, but then there's Starfield too, because like I have a feeling that Bethesda is going to do what they did with Fallout 4 and say, yo, here's Starfield. It's ready to come out. Holiday 2021. And they're going to show it.
Wild.
What if they do?
That'd be crazy. I think there's been too much going on at Bethesda that I don't know if they're ready for that. But like, yeah, wow, that would be cool. That'd be real cool.
That'd be awesome.
You can go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong to correct us as we screw things up in the show. But seeing as it's me and Andrea today, I don't think there's going to be anything. Definitely nothing of substance. Nanobiologist said Rift Apart comes out June 11th. I don't know. Some guy says pronunciation correction. Kena Bridge of Spirits is pronounced Kena per a Game Informer interview. So there you go. Kena
like
Bridge of Spirits.
Seems like an opinion.
And then, yeah, there you go. There you go. That's it. That's all we got wrong. Told you. We're perfect. Tim and Andrea.
We are perfect. TNA. Tim.
Never forget. I miss you, Andrea. There's an energy.
I miss you too, Tim.
That we have that, like, I don't get with anybody else, you know? It's that dream team situation. It is special. So what if you wanted to pimp projects you're working on or what you really want the best friends to go check out on What's Good, what should they check out?
Oh, well, last week we had an amazing panel of guests on the show for Black History Month. So obviously, Brianna Manuel, who the Kind of Funny Best Friends know very well and who worked with us for a long time before she went for G4. Is on that panel, but also we have Khalif Adams, one of the founders of Spawn On Me, and Paris Lilly from Gamertag Radio, also co-host of the Kind of Funny X-Cast. I have a clip, Tim, of Paris not being able to, on demand, tell people where they can watch the X-Cast, and it's really funny.
That's awesome. I mean, there's...
Like, I think he just, like, had, like, that moment where he was, like, deer in headlights, and he's like, oh my gosh. He knew the exact time you could watch the X-Cast.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, it's like when it comes to intros to shows, especially at Kind of Funny when we have like a bazillion shows. And like I was just like asked to be part of this not too long before we did the show. So I wasn't really prepared to be hosting Games Daily today. But I come in and it is just like you go into robot mode of just like, here's the show. You can get it here. You can do this thing, blah, blah, blah. And I'm always impressed at the end of it where I'm like, okay, I flubbed a couple words there, but at the end of the day, I got all the info out. Like, it's crazy how it's in here somehow, and it comes out of this little hole. Insane.
Exactly. It's just repetition. But they were all wonderful on the show last week, and for the feature segment in the back half of the show, we talk about what Black History Month means to them as Black content creators and what it means to be a content creator in the space and how important education and activism is in their content and in their lives. And it's a really great conversation, and it's not all serious. It does go to really some really fun places. And of course, Khalif has to bring up our age old raging debate about oatmeal raisin cookies, which is hilarious to me. But it's a great show. So of course you can find it wherever you find your favorite Kind of Funny shows on the podcast, the platform of your choice. You can find us at roosterteeth.com as well, at youtube.com/whatsgoodgames. And I'm still streaming at twitch.tv/whatsgoodgames as well, and I'll be live streaming along tomorrow if you want to have Kind of Funny up in one window and What's Good up in another window. So
many windows. Love to see it. I need to ask, what's up with the oatmeal cookies?
Oh, so I don't care that oatmeal raisin cookies exist. I am of the mindset that chocolate chip cookies are always better than oatmeal raisin cookies.
Always.
That if you had to choose, if there was a plate in front of you, that you would choose the chocolate chip cookie, and that it is absolutely atrocious when people try to pass oatmeal raisin cookies off as chocolate chip cookies. They're tricking you.
I think I would say 8 out of 10 people, or 4 out of 5.
would prefer chocolate chips.
16 out of 20 people.
People would go get an oatmeal raisin cookie hoping that it is a chocolate chip oatmeal cookie and are disappointed every time.
That's what I'm saying. And he wouldn't have it. And Ree and Paris were on his side. They were all on team oatmeal raisin. And I was like, no. Raisins? Why? Why would you rather have raisins in your cookie than chocolate chips? I don't get it. I know people in the chat are like, what about oatmeal chocolate chip? That's not what we're talking about. No, we're talking specifically about oatmeal raisin.
Here's my thing. I love oatmeal raisin cookies. I also love chocolate chip cookies. In no world would I argue that chocolate chip cookies aren't the default cookie. And I agree that you should never they should never be on the same plate. Like, that's stupid and fucked up. Don't try to mislead people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that ain't okay. But I do think that oatmeal raisin cookies get a ridiculous bad rap that is undeserved. Because I'm going to say, this is a new statement that I'm making here. I think it is easier and more likely that a chocolate chip cookie isn't a good chocolate chip cookie than it is for an oatmeal raisin cookie to be a good oatmeal raisin cookie. I think the range of acceptability of taste, but still, I'm a fan of consistency, Kev. And like, that's my thing. But real talk, there are times when I'll choose an oatmeal raisin over the chocolate chip because at least I know what I'm getting with the oatmeal raisin. Chocolate chip, it can be a little bit all over the place.
And that's because people with such haste are often trying to make chocolate chip cookies to reach the demand, you know, to hit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with such haste. You're right. You're making a good point. I mean, chocolate chip cookies are something very special. And with that, we're going to end this episode of Kind of Funny. I love everything we do here. But we're going to end this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily. Andrea, thank you very much for joining us. You will return next week with some Call of Duty Warzone action, dropping into the zone, the Cal Zone, as they call it. Exciting stuff. But stay tuned for the Patreon exclusive post show that is about to happen right now. That, guess what? It's going to be Andrea hanging out with Barrett Courtney. That's cool stuff. They're going to catch up. They're going to talk about, what are they going to talk about? Let me see. We already got something here for you.
Hopefully not Zelda.
Creative directors. It's about creative directors. Yes. But until next time, love you guys. Bye.